Need His presence. We need You, Holy Spirit. You ought to lift your hands if you really meant that. That you need the Holy Spirit. You need His presence. You need His anointing. You need His touch. We can't make it without His Spirit, His protection upon our lives. The transformative power of Pentecost. Won't you just tell God thank You for a moment? Can we just celebrate the Lord for a moment? Hallelujah. We thank You, oh God. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your anointing. We thank You for Your directives, Your instructions. We thank You for being with us, for protecting us, for preserving us, for keeping us, for overseeing us. We thank You, oh God. We thank You for this time, this moment, this space of worship in which You've allowed for us to come together to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, God, we invite Your presence into this place even the more, into this place of our hearts, as well as into this place of this meeting room. We say, take Your throne. We make room for You to be who You are in our lives and who You need to be in our individual lives. We say, have Your way. In Jesus' name we pray. And every believer said amen. Amen and amen. Well, I want to lift my biblical text from the book of St. John chapter 20. You've heard read into your hearing earlier. I'm going to commence reading again at verse number 19 and conclude with verse number 22. I will be reading from the English Standard Version on today. The word of the Lord declares, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. That's a message for each of us. Jesus is sending us. And when He had said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Today I want to subtitle this text, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Omnipotence is basically a compound word that means omni, all means omni, and powerful, which is potent. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is all together powerful. It is all together potent. It is omnipresent. It is omnipotent. It is all powerful. It is powerful. In fact, the Holy Spirit does not need us in order to be powerful, but God chose us to house His Spirit, His very anointing, all that He is. He's given us the power and the great privilege of housing all power, of housing His omnipotence, His power. According to the King James Dictionary definition, omnipotence means almighty power, ultimate and infinite power. power, a word in strictness applicable only to God. God is omnipotent. He has all power. There is no power that can is able to compare to God's power. When it comes to His Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, there is no power that is as great as God's power. Hence, it is sometimes used for God. The works of creation demonstrate the omnipotence of God. In fact, everything operates under God's power source. If you need to drive your car, if your car has a gasoline engine, you've got to make sure when you get in the car that you have gasoline. If your car is battery operated, then you have to make sure that your battery has been charged. You have to make sure that you plugged it in so that you have power in order to drive. Recently, I had to take a road trip to Orlando, and what I usually do is I remember the day before to go to the fuel station to fill up my fuel tank, because I may decide to leave at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I don't want to be at a fuel station that early in the morning. So I make sure the day before that I fill up my fuel tank. And so if you want the power of God, you've got to make sure that you have the power of the Holy Ghost on a daily basis. Because I come to tell you, you cannot depend on yesterday's anointing. You cannot depend on yesteryear anointing. If you're going to walk in the power and the authority of God, you ought to wake up in the morning and say, God, fill my cup, fill it up until it overflows. Why? Because you don't know what enemies you're going to face on today. You don't know whose job it is to get on your last nerve to provoke you, and you need more of the Holy Ghost on today than you had on yesterday. So everything operates under a power source. Batteries are the source of power that most of your technological gadgets operate on. How many know that if you forget to plug in your cell phone before you go to bed, you just might wake up with a cell phone with a low battery, if not dead battery? Because you have a responsibility to make sure that your gadgets have power by plugging them in. Then the human anatomy needs a power source. How many know that you can't just go about your day without eating food, without drinking water, fruit juice, so that your body will have the nourishment and the nutrients that it needs in order to function at its maximum potential? A healthy, balanced diet gives your body nutrients. Nutrients are like fuel for your body. They give you energy, and they keep your heart beating, your brain active, and your muscles working. They also help to build and strengthen bones, muscle, and other body tissue. The body needs three major nutrients for energy. They are carbohydrate, protein, and fat. Carbohydrate provides energy for your brain, muscles, heart, and lungs. It is found in bread, cereal, rice, pasta, fruits, vegetables, milk, yogurt, and even sugar. Protein provides energy and helps build and repair your body's cell. It is found in meat, poultry, fish, cooked dry beans, cheese, tofu, and other soy products, nuts and seeds, and milk, and even alternatives. And then the body needs something called fat. fat provides energy, helps build the covering around nerves in your body, and helps make hormones. Fat is found in butter, margarine, oil, mayonnaise, salad dressing, and nuts. It is also found in most foods that come from animals, such as milk products. Many foods also have fat added to them in order to make sure that when we consume the foods, we're getting an adequate amount of fat. Why? Because these nutrients are important in fueling the human body. Your body needs all three of these nutrients to be healthy. And if you choose a good mix of foods, you can help your body get the right amounts of carbohydrates, protein, and fat. It can also keep you at a healthy weight. Our bodies digest the food we eat by mixing it with fluids, acids, and enzymes in the stomach. And when the stomach digests food, the carbohydrates in the food breaks down into another type of sugar called glucose. The stomach and small intestines absorb the glucose and then release it into the bloodstream. That's what gives us energy and allows us to function throughout our day. And once in the bloodstream, glucose can be used immediately for energy or is stored in our bodies for a later time. So, my brothers and sisters, it is imperative that we consume enough of the right foods in order to have adequate energy and so that our bodies are functioning at maximum potential. Nonetheless, my focus today is your spiritual menu. Your faith's power source. In Ephesians 5 and 18, we find this command, be ye filled with the Spirit. In other words, we have been commanded to be filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, not any kind of spirit, because how many know you can be filled with some other type of spirit? But there's only one true and living Holy Spirit. In fact, God commands all Christians to be filled with the Spirit, His Spirit. His Spirit is our spiritual power source. We need this Spirit infilling on a daily basis. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And if ever there is a time for the Holy Ghost, you ought to help me save that time is now. The world in which we live in, we need the Holy Ghost. In fact, we need a double portion of the Holy Ghost in order to function in today's society. It is a now necessity. This world needs to be infused with some Holy Ghost power. We need power to overcome immorality. We need power to overcome rejection and evil. We need power to escape the shame of this world. So what happens when our power goes out? If God turned off the supernatural power switch in heaven, what would happen? What would we be denied of? If God would have just shut down heaven, how many know we will be in serious trouble? Because we need the power of God on a regular basis. Oh, praise His holy name. The fact of the matter is, coming to church on Sunday alone is not enough. Coming to Bible study on Wednesday is not enough. You need a devotion in your home, a time where you get a hold of the horns of the altar and begin to talk to God. Why? Because we need His power. We need Holy Ghost power. We still have a need for the power. Just like we need air, we need sunshine, we need rain. The earth needs air. The earth needs sunshine. The earth needs rain. Animals need air. Animals need sunshine. Animals need the rain. The sea needs air. The sea needs sunshine. The sea needs the rain. All of God's universe needs God. God needs the heavens functioning on our behalf. The universe needs the Holy Ghost in order to function, in order to keep the sun its proper distance from the earth. Good God of Zion, we need God operating in heaven. Which brings me to the first point in my message, point number one: no power, no privilege. If you're not filled with God's spiritual power, you are living beneath your privileges. In fact, there are a lot of Christians who feel as though they have no need of the Holy Ghost. They say, well, I'll take the word, I'll go to church on a regular basis, but they feel as though they have no need of the Holy Ghost. But how many know we need Holy Ghost, and that with a burning fire? We need the Holy Ghost active in our lives, because how many know that when somebody gets on your last nerve, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you just might cuss them out, and you'll forget about the time you got saved 20 years ago. Because it takes the Holy Ghost to keep you under control. Good God of Zion. You need the, watch this, you need the fruit of the Spirit, because the gifts are not enough. The gifts are free. And because the sun shines on the just and the unjust, but you've got to have the Holy Ghost in order to operate in the fruit. What are the fruits? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, gentleness. You cannot operate in the fruit of the Spirit without having the Holy Ghost. Because how many know the Holy Ghost will check you? Before you open your mouth to say the wrong thing, the Holy Ghost will serve notice on you. The Holy Ghost, if you have the real Holy Ghost on the inside, the Holy Ghost will teach you how to study to be quiet. Well, you have the Holy Ghost, you don't have to get the last word in. But you'll learn how to hum and not utter a word, because the Holy Ghost makes the difference. God's Spirit affords us the privilege of living with joy. When you have the Holy Ghost, you can have joy even inside. Anybody been there before? God, the Holy Ghost would teach you how to have joy even in sorrow. You ought to be crying. You ought to be in a corner somewhere. But there's something on the inside of you that is working on the outside that won't allow you to act a fool. God, help me, Holy Ghost. But there's something that'll give you joy in sorrow. It'll give you hope for tomorrow. It'll give you a reason to sing. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There is joy down on the inside. Why? Because the Holy Ghost makes the difference. It's a privilege. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's a privilege. God's Spirit affords us the privilege of living with joy. David wrote, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why? Because David understood without God's Spirit, he was nothing. Here it is, David. He's a crook, a murderer without God. But with God, we can do all things. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. And David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. God's Spirit affords us the privilege of operating under his power. God promised Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. It's not in what you're able to do. It's not in your abilities. It's not in your credentials. It's not in your gifts. But he said, it's all about the Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. My Spirit hits his Spirit that gives us the ability to do and be great. See, when you understand that your greatness comes from him, God will, he'll allow your gifts. Watch this, because your gifts are not what makes you. But God will allow your gifts to make room for you. Why? Because you have the right attitude. and that he would allow resources to begin to open up to you because you have the right attitude, and now he can use you and bring you before great and mighty men. Because what happens is when we get in the flesh, our attitude closes doors for us. How many know that a bad attitude will close a door faster than God can open it? But when you have the right spirit, when you understand that it's all about Christ and not about you, God will begin to allow your gifts to make room for you. There are people who have gifts. They have great gifts, but people may not want to use them because they have a bad attitude. And now what people begin to see is your bad attitude and not your gifts. But when you have the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will allow you to keep your attitude in check. All 12 disciples already had the Holy Ghost dwelling in them. They would never have left their fishing boats and followed Christ during these 3.5 years of humiliation and suffering if it hadn't been for the Spirit of God working in them. Is there anybody here who can say you will not be where you are in your life right now today if it had not been for the Holy Ghost working in and through you? So the fact that Jesus issued this command so late in their training suggests something important. It suggests that we need constant reinforcement to sustain our necessary levels of Holy Ghost power. How many know that there are dimensions to God's power? When you're in a service, you might feel the presence of God and a rushing of God's anointing, and you may not even know what to do with that power. And that's why sometimes we find ourselves running around the church and clapping our hands and jumping and shouting. But how many know there is another dimension of power? And that dimension is power is for you and I to have domain, to rule, to reign, to have authority, to allow doors to be open for the Lord's sake, so that God can be put on display even in the school, in the workplace, in government, wherever we might frequent, so that God's power may have dominion in and through the believer, those who are a part of the household of faith. You've been called to operate and to dwell within the power of God's anointing. Still later, Jesus said to the disciples in Luke 24:49, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." He said, you need to tarry here. You need to get some work done until you receive the Holy Ghost power. See, many times we think that we're ready for what God has prepared for us, but sometimes God needs for us to tarry. Somebody shout tarry. Tarry means to wait on God diligently through prayer and fasting. To wait on God. See, you ought not take off and begin to do something because you feel the urge, but you ought to wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead, guide, and direct those who belong to him. And so many times what happens is people begin to jump ahead of God and end up outside of their lane because they refuse to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. When you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit will never lead you astray. He will keep you in your lane. He will talk to you. He will communicate with you. He will lead, guide, and direct you. He will order your steps and keep you on a plain path. You ever seen people who are outside of their lane and seem like nobody want to tell them that they're outside of their lane? They're making a mess of things. The Holy Ghost will always keep you in your lane. And when you begin to try to do something that you are not called to do, you're not anointed to do, you're not qualified to do, the Holy Spirit will speak to you within your own spirit to let you know that you are outside of the will of God concerning your life. life, concerning your ministry, concerning your career, concerning what God has called you to do. So the Holy Ghost is vitally important. Having the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, operating within the Holy Spirit is vitally important to the believer. You need the presence of God, and you need His presence on a daily basis. Why? Because God may have further instruction to give you on tomorrow. See, many times God may not want to give you everything on today. He may want to hear from you on tomorrow. That's why you need to have a talk with God on a daily basis. That's why throughout your day you ought to say, Holy Spirit, what is it that you would have for me to do? What is it that you might have for me to say to this individual? Before you go in meeting, many times before I go into a meeting with anyone, I would say unto God, I would say, Holy Spirit, give me what to say so I don't say the wrong thing. Don't let Byron speak in this meeting alone, but you speak through me. Why? Because if the Holy Spirit speaks through me, then no one will be offended with what I have to say. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking through me. Let this mind that be in Christ also be in you. See, when you begin to think with your own mind and in your flesh, you mess things up. You destroy relationships. You offend people. You don't know how to talk to people in love. But we must begin to provoke one another in love. Because there's always a right way and a wrong way to bring correction and discipline. Amen, somebody. Point number three, no power, no purpose. Somebody shout, no power, no purpose. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to spread the gospel. When you know your purpose, you need power in order to accomplish your purpose. And you cannot have effective purpose without the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's not your assignment. It's God's assignment. As believers, we have been commissioned as ambassadors of Christ to do His work. You're not doing your own work, but you're doing the work of the Lord. And whenever you've been summoned and called by God to do a work for Him, He will always give you the power to endure. You ever seen people becoming weary in well-doing? In other words, they start out doing real good, but guess what? All of a sudden, they become lax. You don't see them functioning in the way that you used to see them. Why? Because many times people go out in their own flesh and begin to try and build a ministry for themselves, a ministry in which God has not purpose for their life to accomplish. And if God is not in it, guess what? You're not in it. You become bored in it. You become lax in it. That's why the scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And when you're in the center of God's will concerning your purpose, then God will always give you a new mercy and a new grace, so that if you feel drained on today, guess what? On the tomorrow, God will give you a second wind. Look at your neighbor and tell him a second wind. Have you ever been there before where you were running for God, but all of a sudden you felt drained, you felt tired, and you begin to talk to God, and all of a sudden God gave you a second wind? You felt a second energy. You felt like, I don't know where this second wind came from, but thank you, God. He keeps on renewing my strength like the eagle. For the scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. We're moving. Point number three, and I'm done. Finally, no power, no progress. We need the power of God in order to make genuine progress. In other words, I don't want to just fulfill my duty, but I want to make progress. So when you're making progress, you're able to see that you are accomplishing something. In other words, as a pastor, I have to do what's called a minister's report. As a bishop now, a bishop's report on a monthly basis to my state bishop. And it doesn't feel good to not be able to show progress in the report, because it is imperative that you're able to show that lives are being changed through ministry. It's imperative to be able to show that someone received salvation, someone was sanctified, someone received the Holy Ghost, someone was baptized in water, there were homes that were visited, there were individuals who received the administration of the Lord's Supper. It's good to be able to show that there were members added to the church, because it reflects progress. It shows that you're not just filling up space, but you're actually making an impact in the lives of the people in which you are serving. It does not matter what you're doing for God. It is important to be able to show progress, that you're actually making a difference in the lives of the people. You're actually making an impact on the lives of people. So no power, no progress. You need the Holy Ghost on the inside of you in order to have power and progress. The world is a very big place. We are called to evangelize the world and bring it to its needs. So my question for you is, how is your progress? Since our progress is directly tied to our level of spiritual power, how are we doing? The apostles fulfilled their callings because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Watch this, over and over and over again. In other words, they did not receive a feeling of the Holy Spirit, and then next year they say, I don't need anything. Next week, I don't need anything. Because what happens is, when you have that mentality, you're operating in your flesh. Because unless you're operating in the Spirit of God, you're operating in your own flesh, or you're operating according to man's philosophy or ideologies. So we need the Holy Spirit, because how many know that there are multiple different philosophies and ideas to choose from? If you don't believe me, look at how many different reformations there are in Christianity alone. There are multiple different reformations with various beliefs and doctrinal teachings. Why? Because there is a variation. And that's why Paul said, anyone who teaches a different doctrine other than the one that he ascribes to, let him be accursed. Because there is only one true and living God, which means there is only one and true and living doctrinal teaching. I'm not referring to denomination here. I'm referring to a belief in a son called Jesus Christ, who came into this world, who was crucified on a cross, who was buried, who arose on the third day, who was seen of many, and who ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for the saints, and who will soon return to receive his bride. Oh, praise his holy name. That's the reformation that I'm talking about. That's the reformation that I want to belong to. I want to belong to the reformation of those who called upon the name of the Lord, who have been changed by his blood, who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who have received the Holy Ghost, and that with a burning fire. And you know what was the real sign of the power for the disciples, that showed that they were actually operating in the Holy Spirit? The text says, when they preached, the word says that much people were added to the church.
So what is our ultimate purpose as believers? Is to make sure that souls are added to the church. I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about Miami Ridgeway Church of God of Prophecy. I'm talking about souls added to the church. You may witness to someone on your job and tell them about Christ and invite them to your church, but your church may not be geographically conducive for them to travel to, but there may be a different church that is in close proximity to their domain for them to become a member of. If you are drawing people to the body, look at your neighbor and tell them the body of Christ. If souls are being added to the body of Christ, you are making progress. So you mean to tell me it's not in how I preach, it's not in how one might sing, but it's all about progress? It's all about lives being changed. So that simply says that I'm no better preacher than the next preacher. That simply says if I were a singer, I'm no better singer than the next. If lives are not changed for the betterment of God's kingdom, if souls are not added to God's book. You are wasting your time if there is no progress. There must be progress. Lives must be changed as a result of you doing what you do for the Lord. It does not matter what level, what rank, what capacity you serve in ministry within the church. God has called you to change lives. God has called you to make a difference for the kingdom. God has called you to win souls. You can get someone saved as an usher at the door. Why? Because you belong to God. You have the Holy Ghost. And they ought to be able to experience or have an encounter with God when they walk through these doors, because you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Not everybody is going to have an opportunity to come to the altar. Sometimes you come to church, you preach word, there may not be time for an altar call, but you ought to have enough Holy Ghost in you sitting on your pew, in your chair, so that if somebody needs prayer, the Holy Ghost ought to be able to talk to you and say, go and ask that person if they would like prayer. Because the Holy Spirit is no respecter of persons. Holy Ghost may not always use the bishop. Look at your neighbor and tell him the Holy Ghost wants to use you. If you have the Holy Ghost, come on. You don't get the Holy Ghost to sit and look cute. You don't get the Holy Ghost to shout every now and then. But there's a reason for the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. That there shall be like rivers of living water. That there ought to be a spring of God's glory on the inside of you. That lives are radically changed because they're in contact with you. The power of God. It's what makes the difference. Receiving the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. It is imperative to your Christian walk that you receive the Holy Spirit. Thank God that you're saved, sanctified. But are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you making a difference for the kingdom of God? Or do people run from you? Do people not want to sit next to you? The Lord told the prophet Joel, I will pour out my spirit upon some flesh. Only pastors. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. God is still pouring out himself into vessels fit for the master's use. In other words, you've got to be fit. You must be prepared. You must have the right disposition the right attitude, fit for the master's use. That's sanctification. We don't like that word sanctification. You don't hear too much about sanctification anymore. But when I got saved, we had to get sanctified. And then you got to prove that you're sanctified, because if you were a cusser, you can't cuss anymore. If you were a drinker, you can't drink anymore. Come on, somebody. If you go to the club, you can't go to the club anymore. And you got to prove that there's a change in your life. My parents were so strict when I was young. My siblings and I had to get baptized every time there was a baptismal service, because we got in fights. And we had to get saved all over again, tarry through at the altar. And I don't know where my father got that philosophy from, because I didn't even think Church of God of Prophecy taught that back in the 80s. But if my siblings and I got in a fight, that we had to get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost all over again, and then get baptized. To prove that we're saved again. So sanctification is what qualifies you to receive the Holy Spirit. Because they taught that the Holy Spirit will not what? Dwell in an unclean temple. So you must be set aside for the master's use. Oh, y'all not talking back to me. You have to be set aside for the master's use. You must be sanctified and ready for the Holy Ghost to receive the power of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. So if your vessel is filled, you're a spiritual resource for God's anointing, for God's power, and for His presence. I'm done. We're standing all over the room.